Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Christina Alexander. In the studio with me today, Craig Burley. How's it going, Craig?
Good.
Good?
Yeah, ready for another debate, discussion.
I love it.
Whatever it is. Where are you?
Because Stevie Nichol is going to be joining us, as well as Luis Garcia, because Manchester United had a friendly against Liverpool abroad in Thailand. Man United getting on early in this game, of course. Here's the commemorative ball. Sancho opening it up with a little gift from Liverpool.
Yeah, and he needs a good pre-season.
Yeah.
And a good season to follow that, for sure. But yeah, all's well in the world now at Man United. They've just beaten Liverpool, who were going for all four last year. Yeah, that's how one or two try and perceive things. But lots of changes for Liverpool, pre-season. You know, lots of mistakes here, ironed them out early on. And that's what United did in this game. So, you know, there's no negative to having a win in pre-season and getting some fitness. There's no negative to that. But you don't read anything into this, really.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
To be honest.
Well, like you said, a lot of changes, too, for Liverpool. They're just getting started. Here's what Ten Hag got to say. We are satisfied today because I think there was a team with great spirit. Of course, it will take some time. Believe me, I have seen a lot of mistakes, but I will not say what they were. We are not overestimating this result. And we welcome Stevie and Luis to this edition of ESPN FC. Luis, you were there. What did you see from this Manchester United side?
Actually, I was surprised because I know that they were going to be sharper than the Liverpool players because they just started like a week ago, so they got those 10 days extra. But they were very well organized. The pressing that Ten Hag has put on this field, you start seeing that there is a connection, that they understand what the manager wants. And even though that, he talks about mistakes, they were not very massive mistakes. It's because Liverpool did a good job in the moment they had the ball in the second part of the game where they start getting tired. We cannot forget that these players, they've been just training for a week or so. So they started with a very strong 11, with Martial up front. There were a lot of movements between Rashford, Sancho and Fernandes, changing positions. But at the end, you could see that every position was taken by one of them. So I think that Ten Hag loves to have that. We saw him when he was managing an Ajax. A lot of movement, position-wise, they like to keep the ball. Fred did a fantastic job in the middle of the park, trying to be that, giving that balance on the team. And at the end, it was a 4-0, could have been a 4-3 or a 7-2, because there were so many chances for both sides. But it was United who got the trophy.
Yeah, valuable, of course, for even Liverpool, who lost, to try to learn from what these preseason matches are. How valuable is it for Manchester United, Stevie, to have these kind of games?
Well, it's huge. I mean, the more games Ten Hag gets to put his players through their paces and try and get them introduced to all the different things that he wants from them, then the better for them. Listen, it's always good to win a game, and it's always good for a United side to beat a Liverpool side. But really, the object of this all of these pre-season games are two things. One, the most important one for Ten Hag will be that his players show that they understand what he's looking for. The second one for him is fitness. For Liverpool, I would say it's the other way around. For Liverpool, it's a refresher course as far as how they're going to play. So for Klopp, I would think he's more interested in the fitness side of it. So both teams go into it trying to win it, yes. But I think both teams are looking to get different things out of it. And probably both did get different things out of it.
Liverpool are Liverpool will be fine. Forget, I just mean in general. Liverpool will be the main challengers to Man City, right? They will be challenging on all fronts again, like City, across the board. That's not going to go away. The big story here is always going to be going forward, Man United, because what are we going to get? We don't. Yes, there should be signings coming in, but they're slow. But I think what United fans in particular and pundits and the media are looking for as the pre-season games roll on and this season gets closer is a tangible difference, even within the current playing squad and the style. As Luis mentioned, the pressing. What is Ten Hag, what's his team's going to look like that's going to be different to the previous failures? Because when Solskjaer was in, it was just a mishmash of everything. It was nothing tangible. When Ralph Rangnick was the coach, in many ways, with this reputation of being this guy who goes in and builds clubs and turns it around and he's such a good coach, in many ways, they were worse. We saw nothing. We didn't see any pressing, any work rate. We didn't see any particularly passing, shape or routine. So I think from United, it's like, what's the stamp of the new manager? So it's not just about new signings. Is it, can he revitalise Martial? Can he get hold of Sancho and say, listen, you're this big money player. We know you're better than what we've seen. Can he rejuvenate the career of Marcus Rashford, who'd lost his way? So there's lots of questions from United's side. This is a positive, but going forward, and I think they have a very good coach, by the way, so I think he will get more out of the players that are there than the previous incumbents in this job. But that's still going to be taking a lot of signings to come in there before bridging that gap. But it's a positive start.
And we know he's good with young players, I think, with what we saw in Ajax. Yes.
I think in some ways Ten Hag's a little unfortunate. You know, before the Premier League, everybody could go away pre-season and nobody really had that much of an idea what they were doing. And you had time to in the quiet, basically, get your team ready for the start of the season. Ten Hag's unfortunate that it's so high profile now, and Man United are so high profile, not just because of Man United, but because they've been so bad and because they've got a new manager, that every single thing is being scrutinised to the nth degree. And I'm sitting here thinking, it's actually a good job for Ten Hag. It wasn't 4-0 the other way around, because you know what it would be like? All the press and everybody else would be same old United. So in some ways, this is going to be a tough pre-season for Ten Hag. He's actually going to be under more pressure than anybody else at Manchester United, just because of the profile of the place.
And because we know any questions regarding anybody's future, of course, even the clubs, is going directly to Ten Hag, who said this about Cristiano Ronaldo. He said, he is not for sale. He is in our plans. Is this the smartest route to go on someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, Luis?
I think it's a good way to kind of give it a trust to Cristiano Ronaldo. He put his point. We still don't know what is the history behind of his not being involved in preseason. We heard about his agent trying to bring him to a different club. We saw today rumors that Paris Saint-Germain declined the offer of bringing Cristiano Ronaldo. So at the end, it's all about rumors, and we don't know the real history. And for Ten Hag, I'm sure that having him for next year, it would be fantastic. We are talking about a player that, if you're surrounded by players, then we've been talking quite a few of them, with Sancho, with players who can be players, who can give crosses, like Martial, Fernandes, who can bring that ball, good balls, to a center forward like him. It could be a fantastic year for him. And I'm not talking about that they will win trophies, but at least they will start competing once again with the top four or top five at the top of the Premier League. So I think the best way to do it is like that. Yeah, he's part of us. He's got a contract, because that is the total truth. That's the thing that we know for sure. And we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. But I'm sure that if he can have Cristiano Ronaldo next year, he's going to be very, very happy.
But maybe if they have a really positive pre-season as it rolls on, that will be slightly easier from a manager's perspective to call him and say, listen, you know, sell the club, sell the team, sell what he's thinking and his philosophy and how he fits in. It might make it easier, but then if he's made his mind up that it's
all or nothing and I want to go. And all the toys are coming out of the pram and the agents are on the phone. And it's going to be difficult to keep that player.
To convince him.
Because of the dressing room. Well, you can keep him because of the contract, but then it becomes such a difficult scenario within the club, having someone who has... It's a bit like Lewandowski at Bayern Munich. In some sense, slightly different ages, but not too far. The relationship with that club seems untenable now in terms of, you know, Oliver Kahn and Salah Hamidic and Lewandowski and what they've been saying. We're not at that stage yet, but if Ronaldo wants to go and there's no convincing him, then you can talk about not for sale all you want, but it's a dangerous player to have in the locker room if he's really, really made his mind up, and we don't know if he has.
Locker room situation aside, how does he fit? Does he fit into this Ten Hag team?
Well, yeah, because he scores goals and he's got, as Luis says, he's got players potentially like Jadon Sancho and Fernandes and Marcus Rashford if they can rebuild their career, and maybe they're going to go and eventually bring in Christian Eriksen, who's a very good player in the final third, to add to the squad, not necessarily the first 11. And that means there's other people to do his donkey work, for want of a better expression. And yeah, he's not going to run about for 90 minutes like he did 5 or 10 years ago and press and press and press. But you're not telling me that he's still not an asset to a manager who hasn't really got another striker to score goals as we speak at this moment.
Luis, do you agree?
Yeah, totally agree. I think that's the way that the Man United is going to play it. I mean, if there is no... It will be sad to see that Cristiano Ronaldo wants to go and there are no clubs open to, because at the end, his wages are going to be high. You don't know really what you're going to get from him, if he's going to play well in your system. So we heard what happened with Paris Saint-Germain, but there are not many clubs who can afford to have Cristiano Ronaldo, because probably they have to pay also a fee transfer. So it would be very sad to see that this situation goes on and we don't really know if he's going to stay or not for the next couple of weeks. So hopefully he made his mind and he decided to just make the move and try to go somewhere else quick, or stay at Manchester United, give you the chance to then have to be working with him and to try to rebuild this Manchester United. And he being a very part, being as a mentor for the young talents and also a key player in some moments. And apart from that, to see Cristiano Ronaldo once again as the main star, as one of the biggest talents in the football history.
Yeah, and especially in a World Cup year, we know Ronaldo wants to be at the top of his level, as he always wants to be. He's always such a hungry player. To see if he could be now for Portugal and what's to come in only a few months. Speaking of staying in shape, this topic that you and Stevie haven't talked about enough, the fact that Conte made his players run 42 pitch lengths.
Well, some of them only ran 30. It depended on those that had a heavier schedule at the end of the season. That's all.
Oh.
That's it. Moving on. No, I'm kidding.
Shirkers, they only did 30.
But I don't know. It seems like they're still very happy with their manager, with Conte, after this really tough preseason session, at least. Stevie, what message do you get? We see Heung-min Son here with Conte, happily doing his celebration. What message is he sending? I'm killing you in practice, but we still get along, right?
I mean, the message he's sending is, listen, I'm going to work you. The only thing I'm guaranteeing is I'm going to work you. And every player expects that in pre-season. They expect to be pushed. You know, it's always about... And everybody's different, you know. Some guys can run longer than others. Some guys can run faster than others. But you've kind of got to... You can't just blast everybody with the same thing and expect them all to be able to do it. And what is it, a competition? I mean, you know, I'm all for working your players hard in pre-season. We all understand that you have to do it. It has to be done. I just don't care, regardless of how many trophies the guys won, I don't see what good it does you to run the guts out of your players. I don't understand that.
Do you understand it, Luis?
Yes, I do. A little bit I do. I think that preseason have become a little bit more like a show to try to do and get some money from tours. And we forget that this is the only chance that the players got to build up what is going to be a very long season. You cannot play, you cannot train during the week, during the season. A very good training of running or of strength, it doesn't matter the way that you look for it. This time we've seen 42 runs up and down. It's around 5 kilometers. It's not that much. I know that it's at the start of the season. It doesn't matter if you do it making rounds or you doing on the golf course, running for half an hour or 45 minutes. This is the only time that they're going to have to start building a strong stamina for the rest of the season. They're not going to have much time. So I totally understand. Is this the way of Conte? That's the way, but I don't think that is a bad situation. They need to understand that, and I'm sure that they are happy because of that.
Now, I go back to yesterday's discussion that we had. Would I like it when I was a player? No, I said that. I would not. But I'm not a player, and I don't work for Antonio Conte. Mm-hmm. But this is his methods, and it has been, and this is what I tried to say yesterday, this is his methods, and this has been successful. Now, if you have a methodology of working and you have fitness coaches, a lot of people behind the scenes, and your method has been successful, as it was at Juventus, as it was at Chelsea, as it was at Inter. In some sense, his fitness has been successful at Tottenham because his remit when he came in was getting the top four. He did. Now, do you change that method to try something else, or do you do and continue down the fitness road of what's been successful for you? So I don't understand what the problem is when you go and ask Juventus players, you go and ask Inter players, you go and ask Chelsea players at the time what it was like to work under this guy, but they all had success. But whether we agree with it or not, this is how Antonio Conte operates. And it has been successful. Now, if things are not successful and continue to be unsuccessful, then you have to change. But he's had success doing this. And that's why I don't understand it's such a problem.
Stevie, anything to add to that?
I don't believe that you have to go to such an extreme. That's my point. You know, you.
But it's not.
I mean, how's the recovery? You know, we're talking about recovery, right? Do you want to train every day? Do you want to train every 3 days? Because if you're doing three a day and your third session consists of 42 runs up and down the pitch, I'll tell you what, you ain't getting an awful lot out of anybody the following day.
But he's not worried about the following day. He's worried about the following 6 months.
He thinks it works. He doesn't think it works.
Personally, he knows it works.
I think it's the wrong thing to do. I think you're opening yourself up to getting players injured for a start. So I just don't. I don't.
Right.
He should be able to find a better way of getting them fit than just running the guts out of them.
But this is his way, and I'm sure he's not just come up with this off his own bat.
I know.
He's got fitness instructors, Stevie, that give him advice. Let's look at the facts. When he went into Inter,
I don't disagree. I don't disagree that his methods work.
Well, what's
I
the
have
problem,
never
then?
Disagreed with your point that his methods work. I disagree that that's how he goes about it, because you don't need to do that. I wouldn't, as a player, respect it for somebody just to run the guts out of me. Yes, I expect to be worked hard, but I do not expect the guy just to take the mickey and run me till I'm on my knees and somebody needs to carry me to my bed. I don't call that proper training.
I don't think that's the case. I mean, he was super successful at Juventus. And the players didn't jump ship on him because he was, you know, maybe one or two, but he was there for years and he built a bit of a legacy there in Turin. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the progress each team have made. You know, Inter were fourth when he went in with 69 points. The next year they finished second with 82. The next year they won with 91. So there's a gradual progress. The same at Chelsea, they were all right, they were a better team than that, but they finished 10th. But the squad were in a bit of disarray. There's always a gradual progress, and he's a big guy in fitness. Now, we go back to the other things, Stevie, like, you know, the throw-in coach at Liverpool. which sparked a big debate amongst people. And people thought, this is daft. But Jurgen Klopp doesn't think it's daft to have a throw-in coach. Antonio Conte doesn't think it's daft.
That's a completely, different thing.
Well, no,
that's
it's not a completely different thing. It's not. It's a manager's view.
It's a completely different thing. He's overstepping his boundaries by running the players to so they're spewing and they can't stand. Hey, please tell me how that is a good idea.
Listen.
Please tell me.
You're missing the point. It's his methodology.
Everybody's done the pitch runs. And I'll tell you what, 42 on the third session of the day.
Yep. Listen,
we have to wrap it up, guys.
It's not a different point.
This has got not that I know what I'm doing. This has got, I'm in charge, you're going to do this, and I don't care. Get it done or else you're out.
And
that's great coaching.
And it's been successful. And to a point, it's about a manager's view of how his...
Well, I heard you the 10th time you said he's been successful, and I haven't disagreed with you. I don't care if he's been successful. This has got nothing to do with the welfare of the players. This has got, I'm the big man, I'm in charge, I don't care what it is, you do it and that's it. What do you call that? That's not coaching.
Well, he is in charge. And he lives and dies by how his players react to him. It's just how different managers do it differently. As I say, we'll go back to the Liverpool thing. It's not running the players. But when somebody tells you there's a throw-in coach, most people go, what? But Jurgen Klopp, one of the most successful coaches, thinks this team needs it. Yep. Now, whether we agree or not...
Throw-in coach and him running the guts out of them has got nothing to do with each other.
But it's a philosophy.
Nothing to do with each other.
It's a philosophy to try and make your team better. And Antonio Conte thinks the fitness aspect of his teams make his teams have an extra edge and are better. It's a different way of looking at it.
We have to wrap it up, guys. You'll have a chance to talk more. This is running the guts out of people just to show who's in charge. That's a great way to run things, isn't it? I don't care whether it's right or wrong.
More on this.
I'm going to run the guts out of you.
Craig taking a jog. Head over to our YouTube page.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire, you need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, it looks like Rafinha is set to join Barcelona soon. With more on that, let's go to Gemma Soler. Gemma, what's the latest?
Yes, Cristina, he's just pending on the medical test and a minor details, and he will be a Barcelona player, is what he has dreamed for. And he has been pushing so much since last February. It's what his agent, Deco, a former Barcelona player, has been working. And eventually, with the famous sleeve palancas, Barcelona managed to have money to sign this player. Will be bringing quality as a winger, and Xavi is what he wanted for in that side, and he thinks he needs so much more quality in the final third, and Rafinha will be able to bring this to the Camp Nou.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, with Ousmane Dembélé. Looks like he could stick around as well. Gemma, what's the latest with Dembélé?
Yeah, what they told me in the club is that it's done. They're just waiting for a final signature. It's not a renewal because he is a free agent. So it's a new contract, and he accepted a 40% pay cut. And his agent, Moussa Cissoko, after all the soap opera, he won't be having any kind of money. It's probably one of the most bizarre stories in the transfer market we've lived. But what President Laporta explained us in an off-the-record a couple of weeks ago is that the player pushed so much and behaved like that because he wanted to go to PSG in replacing Mbappé. When the story changed, he looked for other options, and eventually he realized that under Xavi's orders, he had the best football years in his career, and that he is happy now in Barcelona. So that's why he decided to put his future, the football side, before the money, and he manages to have that. So the big question is, are Rafinha and Dembélé compatible? Xavi, and who knows the best of Barcelona, he says they are, and he's pushing for that. He needs goals in the final third. They are not going to bring it because they are not a killer, but he thinks that with these two players and with Ferran Torres, Ansu Fati, or Lewandowski, he will be able to have again a competitive team.
Luis, do you agree with what Gemma's telling us about Xavi, that they would be compatible, Dembélé and Rafinha?
I think that they both play in the same place. They got some similarities because they got that kind of diagonals into the box with the left footed. They would like to get that position. And then Dembélé that is faster than Rafinha. He's got maybe a better cross with the right, so he got that option. And Rafinha is a player who likes to get into the box. We've seen it in Leeds. He likes to arrive in second line. He likes to look for shots from outside the box, something that Barcelona needs to continue working on. But it's true that it's not going to be easy to handle both of them because they are players who want to play. There's a lot of games for this season, and Xavi knows that they're going to need a long and deep squad if he want to compete in every single competition. But now they got a lot of players in the positions. We cannot forget that Aubameyang is also there, Ferran Torres, Memphis Depay is a player who is going to be involved as well. So they've got a lot of talent there up front. Maybe not that what Gemma was mentioning, that a target man. Aubameyang is probably the center forward that is going to start in the beginning of the season. Or we'll see how Ansu Fati adapts to that position once again, because likes to play on the left side. But it's a lot of options, and that's what a manager wants. And I'm sure that Xavi is very happy just to see players of this quality arriving to Barcelona when everybody thought that it would be very difficult to bring top talents to our team with such an important problems economically. So I'm sure that right now Xavi must be looking forward to some managing Rafinha and put together what it looks like a big and strong team.
Yep. Who do you like better, Rafinha or Dembélé, Craig?
Well, I don't like Dembélé when he's out injured as often as he has, although he came back strong last year.
Yeah.
But he's been so inconsistent and you know, he has had these injury problems. I just think it's options. You know, and when you're trying to build a big club back up like Barcelona, you have to have depth. You have to have squad depth. Now, I know there are financial implications to their budget, but Dembélé has taken, as Gemma said, a big cut in wages. So I think it's just, as a surprise, they're going to keep both or get one in and keep the same kind of player. But I suppose it keeps players on their toes. And if it's an Ousama Dembele who is fit and direct and, you know, clinical in the final third and pacey, then he might get more game time than he thinks. But if it's the inconsistent Ousmane Dembele and he's carrying a few knocks, at least he has Rafinha to cover that position, or vice versa. I'm only intrigued, Gemma, by the fact that now that Rafinha's come in for that kind of money, what does this mean for any potential or not move for Lewandowski? Is there still going to be enough money there to pursue this deal from Bayern Munich?
What they told us is yes. For that, they need to push the second sleeve, the second palanca, and this is selling the 15% of the TV rights in the next 25 years. Is like buying a house by a long, big mortgage. But they prefer to do that and to have a competitive team, and they think that with that they can generate more money. What the numbers we are talking about, Lewandowski, John Laporta explained us, it was their agents told them that with 40 million, he will be able to sign him. Bayern is asking for 50, 55. So if they manage to get 600 million from that TV right, that's what they're expecting, they will have 200 to sign. And this fits with Lewandowski, with Rafinha, and with the renewing of Dembélé. So then it will depend also if Frenkie de Jong gets out, then it, for sure it will be. Otherwise, there will be a little bit more, some more exits. We just found out about Lenglet, Trincao, Reimana. They will try to sell some other player and to fix it, to balance the books.
What's the latest on Frenkie de Jong now that you mention him, Gemma?
Well, the Man United CEO and the director were in Barcelona. They were talking. There are direct talks, and both parts agree. The number is really close. It's about 85 million euros. But there is a problem coming ahead, I think, is that Frenkie de Jong doesn't want to go, and he doesn't want to take a pay cut. So Barcelona gave him two conditions. Either you go, either you take a pay cut, because his salary and the increasing salary every year is not compatible with the new politics of Barcelona. So I think there is a bit of trouble ahead of that, because both clubs are in agree, but the player is not wanting to leave. So he's training with the team, and he might be going to the U.S. tour. We see what will happen. They will have to combine the player that he doesn't have a place in Barcelona with that salary, or he has to go to Man United.
It'll be interesting to see Barcelona start with what roster. We'll see with all these possible changes still. But Luis, right now, from what you are feeling from Barcelona, how far could this team right now take them in the title race?
I think it's getting stronger and stronger. I think that the adding Kessié in the middle of the park is going to give a lot of the strength and run, fight, that something that with Gavi and Pedri, they didn't have. Of course, Busquets is not getting any younger, and they need a player who can also adapt to that position. Nico was one of the young players who they might use at some points, but Xavi, I think he likes a little bit more going forward. And then you got Christensen, who also just landed at Barcelona, a player who is going to add something, a solid defensive for the Barcelona side. We know that Piqué, again, is not getting any younger, did a good job last year, but he ended up with having some troubles physically, Araujo as well. Umtiti, I think, is still into the team. We'll see if Xavi can make the best of him and bring it also to this new transition moment of Barcelona. So it looks like it's going to be a very exciting Barcelona. If they can continue what started last year and it can be a little bit more consistent, that's something that Xavi was mentioning every single time, that they were doing the things well, but not as often as he needed. So I think that this is a very good Barcelona side. It's getting longer in the squad, getting players with a lot of talent, and now with Xavi, the one who has to manage and use the players in the best way.
Well, and here's another player who isn't getting any younger at 39 years old, Dani Alves, too, looking to another team now. And here's what he had to say on leaving Barcelona. I left happy to have returned to Barcelona. The only thing I didn't like was how my departure was handled. This club has sinned in recent years. Barcelona doesn't care about the people who made history for the club. The mindset is totally opposite to what we built a few years ago. Everything that happens on the field is a reflection of what happens outside. Luis, what do you think of this?
Well, I understand a little bit what Dani Alves says. If you have a look of what the teams are trying to build around them, apart from the players, it's about the legacy that some of the players have done, the history of the clubs. And Barcelona, if you see they don't have players around helping them to be as their representative around the world. We have seen Puyol leaving the club in some different situation. We have seen so many players that they are not very close to the club. And I think that's what Dani Alves is mentioning. He's a very important player. He needs to have a good farewell. And maybe he fell down when he just arrived to the club, gave everything. I'm sure that he wasn't looking for any money. He was looking to be part of the team. I think he did a good job playing that right position. And then when the contract ended, he just been left on the side as a normal player. And I think that Dani Alves deserves a little bit more. But once again, we don't know the whole story. We just see what Dani Alves is feeling. And I think that is at some certain things that he's saying, I could agree with him.
Right, because there's still some of those players that are at Barcelona, Gemma, as you know, with Piqué, with Busquets, etc. But what is a fan thinking of now that they hear this that Dani Alves has to say?
Well, the supporters, of course, feel upset watching how a player who won 26 titles with Barcelona, he lives unhappy. But it has to be something with running a club. Of course, it could have been nicer because he's such a legend. And what he did such an effort coming back to Barcelona with a testimonial salary, the minimum. No player in La Liga gets such a low salary. And what he wanted is to keep playing until the World Cup. And maybe the club could have done something for such an important player. But yeah, with Lionel Messi was another story, but of course it's the biggest legends in the club and they did it really wrong. But I don't completely agree because with Xavi, with Iniesta, with some players, it has been a very nice departure with homage, with a nice parties with the people. In this case, I understand he's upset. He signed a 1+1 contract. The first year was with a testimony almost salary, and the second year had to be increased. That's why probably the club decided to look for other options and not having a 39 player in that position.
Yeah, tough timing for Dani Alves with the World Cup around the corner. Gemma, thank you so much. Always the best information from you regarding Barcelona. And here's a reminder, La Liga opening weekend schedule. All of those matches available on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
It was a big day for England yesterday in the Women's Euros and a big match that we saw today between Germany and Spain. For more on the tournament, let's send it over to the studio with Sebastián Salazar, Emma Hayes, and Steffi Jones.
Thank you very much, Christina M. and Steffi with me here in studio. We will recap Group B, which just had a fantastic day of action. We'll start with Germany and Spain, which was actually the second game, but definitely the one that we were looking forward to the most. Somehow, though, Spain didn't really seem to show up. They were down 3 minutes in and almost never recovered.
Because they were down 1-0 with 3 minutes in. I mean, Steffi called it before the game that the first goal was going to be significant. I think Germany did a great job holding on to their lead for a good 30-plus minutes, then got the second goal, and I think it was game over.
How do you feel about Germany's performance?
Oh, happy. I mean, I was...
Were you surprised?
Yeah.
Were you surprised
how
easy it was?
Well, easy because Spain tried to carry the ball into the goal, always trying to go centrally, and that's the easiest way to defend. So it was not easy, but it was... well organized, good to defend against Spain, I would say.
There's a change to this Spanish team, and I can't work it out. They've been renowned for great wing play. We know they don't have an outstanding number nine, but they seem to be incredibly narrow. Yes, their fullbacks are taking the width, the depth of the team, but their play is so predictable, and they're relying on runs from deep, from Bonmati, from Guijarro. The space is not there, and I think they're really struggling.
So what about the other side of this game, which is Germany? The big talking point before was no Schuler. Okay, Pop comes in and scores. They're looking great, right?
Depth. I mean, let's be frank. You've got a player like Pop. When it gets that tight, set pieces are going to matter in the top games, and she can produce big moments for the team. But she's a different type of player, but what great strength they have in depth, and what is the reason why they're one of the favourites.
Let me ask you a coaching question. You got Schuler, you got Pop, you got some big games coming up. Like, who do you go with?
Well, first of all, she started it with Schuler. So that means that she would have stayed by Schuler, and Alex Pop knows this is her first tournament that she's playing, but she's coming in if needed, or she starts if needed. But Schuler is going to start if she could. I mean, she's now out. So Alex is
just so dynamic. What choices, but dynamic team.
I mean,
Schuler.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. I think she had a great more than 12 months, and Pop, what a player to have from the bench.
So Germany are through to the quarterfinals. Spain and Denmark are the only two teams that can grab that last spot out of Group B, and they're going to face off in the group phase finale. Denmark got the win today against Finland, 1-0. Maybe not the most impressive. When you look at Denmark and you look at Spain, and it's an all or nothing game, who are you betting on?
Come on, Steffi.
All right, okay. Steffi, who are you betting on?
Don't laugh, okay?
Come on.
I was just saying, if Spain keeps on trying to carry the ball into the goal, there is a great chance for Denmark making one goal, defending well, and maybe being this surprising team.
I think it's fair. When there's a lot to play from, the winning team, Denmark may build off of that. I think Spain are expected to go through, but they've proven to be a massive disappointment today.
What'll they have to change?
Score a goal, take a shot. I mean, it's not...
Simple? I mean, it's that simple? Who's that going to come
they
from,
a
player or the coach?
I mean,
that's obvious, right?
So many players, they get into great positions. They're over-touching it. They're overplaying it. They have to sort that part out.
Yeah. I know that Spain fans were probably frustrated. You guys should have seen these two in studio. They were very, very frustrated watching Spain. That'll do it for us here in the studio. Christina, back to you.
Thanks so much, Seb. And of course, we'll break it down here as well on ESPN FC with the Women's Euros, available daily on ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are counting down to the MLS against Liga MX All-Star Game, and the MLS announced their roster, of course, starring Chicharito, Javier Hernandez, and there is Carlos Vela as well. Players like Hany Mukhtar. It'll be very interesting, a matchup from Minnesota, that game MLS against the Liga MX All-Stars next August 10th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and, of course, streaming live on the app. And speaking of the MLS, Wayne Rooney is DC United's new manager, new head coach. The rumors barely started this weekend, Craig, and now we see him officially as a manager.
Where's Seb when we need him? He's very, well, I don't know if he was excited or not yesterday. Oh, he'll be doing this.
There's your answer.
That's where he is, in a cubby.
There's your answer.
In a cubby hole somewhere, recording this program.
Hi, Seb. More on Football Americas exclusively on ESPN Plus. Interesting to see Wayne Rooney now with this.
He was very excited yesterday, Seb. He came and sat here. He said it was a different perspective, he said. I don't know what he's talking about.
Come back anytime, Sebby. Craig, thank you. Bye. Welcome into Extra Time. Thanks for sticking around with us. Craig Burley in the studio, Luis Garcia and Stevie Nichol. Luis, it's a little bit past, I think, everybody's bedtime, at least where you are, right? What time is it?
It's around 4:30 here in Thailand, in Bangkok, where I am at the moment.
Oh, man, 4:30 a.m.
That looks like a sweet
4:30 football. In the morning. You got up to do this?
Nonsense.
I know.
Stevie? Anything you'd like to say? Extra time is worth it.
I know what I'd be. I know what I'd be.
I mean, that's dedication from Luis. That is dedication, I have to say, because I would definitely have had a problem with my phone or my internet.
Yeah.
Or I would just have switched it off, basically.
Gone back to sleep. That's tough.
Did you say gone back to sleep?
Gone back to sleep.
Or you've been locked in somewhere.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Or continue.
Okay, it's
or
late.
Continuing
for him,
the light.
It's late for him, so we won't drag it on too much.
Luis, but you also played a little bit of football where you are, right?
At the moment, we are doing clinics with some of the kids. We've been doing a little bit of touring. Oh, that's the one that you're mentioning. Yeah, that was at the weekend. It's been a long week, this one. Yeah, we're playing at the Masters in Glasgow. Good old times, good old times.
Tell me McManaman wasn't there, Luis.
Yes, there's a few of the guys that, yeah. It was, we had a good time and we managed to pick up the trophy, so yeah.
Nice.
Luis, I actually just, I watched a couple of minutes of it, right? I watched a little bit of the Liverpool Rangers, and then it went on to Rangers Man United, and there was a guy in the middle of the park for Liverpool, and I couldn't figure out who it was. He was rather portly and he had a beard, and the only name I could come up with was Davy Thompson. Was it him?
Yeah, it was Tomo. Yes, that's the one.
Was it Tomo? Oh yeah, brilliant. All right. He's looking well. Yeah, he's enjoying himself, I can see.
It's enjoying life, definitely, yeah.
he was like a mini Razor Ruddock in that jersey.
Hold on, where did you stumble across this? You're in Connecticut. where did you stumble across this?
Come
he knows,
on,
he knows
Craig.
People.
It's on YouTube, of course.
Oh, I forgot the man.
I was going to say you had connections, Stevie, which I'm sure is also true.
No.
On YouTube.
No, I'm just a YouTuber.
Just YouTube.
That'd be funny. Have we got any questions or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. First one's for you, actually.
Well, go to the second one.
Going to the first one. Is Craig sore from running yesterday?
Yeah, I did my 42 lengths. Easy. Be a fit.
Didn't even break a sweat.
Conte would have been pleased. Fit as a fiddle, I'm going to have a game for
sports. I bet there wasn't many Tottenham players running today.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's rough. All right. Here's a good one. Do Man United actually need to make signings? The current squad is oozing quality and confidence after obliterating Liverpool today.
Oh, that's obviously sarcastic.
Who needs Ronaldo when you have Tony Martial? So is this a wink-wink for you?
I think that's a very sarcastic tongue-in-cheek tweet, obviously. Oh, we're over here. Where are we today? There. I've lost... I don't know.
You got it.
Too many red lights.
All right. Yeah, making a little bit of fun of Manchester United.
I mean, I don't know. I'll be slightly worried if that's not tongue-in-cheek, that question.
Right.
I mean, if somebody actually thinks that they don't have to make any signings, that's... Mind you, there's probably people out there that do think that in the Twitter sphere, whatever you call it.
Yeah. Twitter people love it.
Yeah, Twitter people.
The Twitterverse?
Yeah, like that one? Twitter people. A lot of people have Twitter friends.
Yeah.
But they obviously get no real friends. When you've got Twitter friends, you don't have any real friends, obviously. You're searching for friends on Twitter. Yeah, I do that.
All right, next one. For Luis, who is the best Spanish player to ever play in the EPL?
Wow, that's a tough one. I'm going to go, and I know that we're going to receive some stick here because I know that Silva done an amazing job and Cazorla, but I'm a very big fan of Xavi Alonso, and I'm going to go for him, even though the Fernando Torres did also a fantastic job in EPL. But I'm going to go for Xavi Alonso. I have so much respect for him. He adapted very well, very quick. Did a position that he took when he arrived to Liverpool when he was very, very young. It was very difficult, and, well, he managed to become one of the most important midfielders in Premier League. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Xavi.
Yeah, and Fernando Torres, at least when he was at Liverpool, right?
Yeah, Fernando Torres.
Yeah, not necessarily.
I did Fernando Torres' first ever game in the Premier League with Champions at Villa Park. And when he arrived at Liverpool, in my opinion at that point, well, within 6 months, he was the best striker on the planet. I mean, he was unbelievable. He was strong, he was fast, he was physical, and he scored goals. And I know
42 that first season, right?
Yeah, I know years later he got injuries and he lost his confidence, but at the time, Fernando Torres was incredible. I mean, he put the fear of God in defenders. But to go back to Luis, Xabi Alonso, I did a game at Sunderland once, Sunderland-Liverpool, and this ball was cleared in the clouds. I mean, it was sliced up in the air. Most players would have taken a touch. He played it without taking a touch on the half volley when it came down, and he played this pass first time as the ball came out of the sky through to whoever it was up front, and it was a goal. And I knew that anyway. He was a good player.
Yeah.
But it was one of those you just went, wow.
Yeah, it was good run as well. The player who ran the ball and scored, he did well as well. Yeah, I remember.
Was that you?
Yeah, it was me. That's what I remember. Yeah, I remember that ball. He didn't even look left-footed, turn around and put it in between two defenders.
That's
and I was
right.
Making the run. So, yeah, I remember
I wish I hadn't told that story now. I wish I hadn't told that story.
I want to think that you knew and you knew what this was going to be.
No, I couldn't remember. I just can't remember. I've done so many games. But, I mean, Alonso was technically brilliant.
Yep, I agree. Not only for Liverpool, but also what we saw at Madrid. But between the two, Stevie, would you stick with Torres or Alonso?
No, I think Torres for a short spell of time was pretty much untouchable. But Alonso proved in the Premier League, as fast and as physical as it is, that you don't have to be fast and you don't have to be physical. You know, he was neither of those things. But I'll tell you what, he had the quickest brain you've ever seen, and he had the ability to back it up. So he read the game, which meant he didn't have to be that particularly fast, and he didn't need to tackle anybody because he either read the pass, got in front, or stood off and collected it, and then played it when the opposition gave it to him. So yeah, he absolutely proved that, you know, you can play in the Premier League and be the best without being physical and being particularly quick.
David Silva, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good Spanish players, that's the problem. David Silva, for a long time, was... If he had a poor game, it was still 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And that was a poor game. I mean, he was so consistent for Manchester City, so yeah, lots of good choices, I'm afraid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too many.
All right, next one.
Can't believe he was playing in that game.
Should we start again? One manager in their playing days, in your playing days, the panel would have loved to play for. Craig?
Not Ruud Gullit.
Okay.
Although the boys might have liked to play for him because he was a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could ask quite a few players at different clubs about that question, not just me. Mm-hmm. Shearer and Ferguson at Newcastle, and the list goes on. I don't know, really.
Do you want to choose from someone today?
Oh, sorry, was it? What was the question?
No, it could be from any time.
Oh, well, Glenn Hoddle was quite good to play for. Mm-hmm. Very technical. Yeah, he was all right. Glenn was good to play for.
Stevie?
Not Conte. How about that?
I love how we're switching this question.
Anybody but Conte. There you go.
No. Because of the preseason,
Stevie.
Absolutely
Klopp. No danger. Yeah, absolutely right. Klopp. No danger. But definitely not Conte.
One manager in their playing days. Dopey.
Luis?
No, I don't know.
What are you talking
Sisu.
About?
I might say Sisu, Zinedine Zidane.
Grumpy.
I'm not,
That's
I'm telling you.
It's the seventh day of the day, is it?
No, one manager in their playing days.
Oh, sorry, Klopp didn't play, did he?
All right.
Are you telling me Klopp didn't play?
In your playing days.
No, never mind. Who's doping? Who's doping her? Are you telling me Klopp didn't play?
What's Klopp playing got to do with anything?
Well, that was the question. It's not a manager in the playing days. You want to play with? Here's Klopp.
Yeah, in your playing days, Stevie. I interpreted it correctly then.
Oh, can somebody email me the question?
So I'm going to rephrase it, okay? One manager in your playing days that you would have loved to play for. But you answered correctly. You're good.
Well, exactly. I know I did. So why? That's why I said to Grumpy Pants, Klopp.
Listen, just because you never understood the Conte thing yesterday, it's not my, don't bring it out on me. All right.
This Conte thing is going to go on for a while. Luis, what about you?
I'll never understand making players run 42 lengths of the field. I don't care what he's won. Doesn't make it right.
Let's run. I feel so. Let's run.
Hey, Luis. Did you ever have to run 42 lengths of the field? There we go.
No, ask him.
Luis, did you?
No, never. I had the worst preseason.
Is that stupid? Yeah.
It must be some reason behind it, but I don't get it. On these days that you have so much data, I don't think the 42 runs will make a big difference. But probably they are trying to make something different for the future, and we'll see the results in a few months. But definitely in my head, I just don't see it at the moment.
All right, moving on. For Steve. Will Rooney to DC United be a success or a disaster?
Well, unless DC all of a sudden are going to go and buy four or five players, proper players, it can only be a disaster. You know, it's one thing to be a great coach, but if you don't have players that understand the game or are capable of playing at a level consistently enough to win games, then you've no chance. He's got no chance unless they completely change the squad, and certainly at least half of the starting 11. Wayne's going to be banging his head against the wall all the time. So, hey, regardless of how good a coach he is, if they don't go and spend money on at least five players, then, yeah, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, and it's tough also with the season already underway. Luis, I'm going to start with you with this one. For all, if you could go on preseason tour in one city across the globe, where and why?
Well, actually, I'm in Thailand at the moment, and we are moving tomorrow or in a few hours to Singapore, and I will go to Singapore. And because I think it's a fantastic city, something that you can enjoy, and I'm sure that the players also will enjoy. It's a place where you can train. They're gonna feel loved by their supporters. There's a massive base fan here in Asia for the Premier League teams. So I will come straight away here for them. And of course, it's going to be a short time, but definitely worth it.
That's nice. Singapore?
Yeah.
Any other city come in mind?
Yeah, Hartford.
There you go.
Hartford, Connecticut.
It's a quick drive, that's why.
Yeah.
New York?
Close enough. Australia? Sydney?
Ooh. That'd be nice.
Just because I've not been.
There you go.
Wrong way.
Yeah.
But yeah, something like that.
Stevie?
Dublin. Magic. Fans nice. Are there. Everybody in Dublin's just brilliant. You got your pubs, you got your clubs. I mean, anything you want, fantastic. And you're always looked after well in Dublin.
Great response. Craig, this one's for you. Who's your pick for the Open this weekend, and have you ever played St. Andrews?
I haven't, no. I've played a couple of the other ones, but I've not played St. Andrews. I don't have no idea. It's good to see Tiger Woods playing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. John Rahm? I'll throw that out there. But it looks as if it's going to be fast and furious for those that have watched any of the coverage. Tiger Woods today, I was listening to his press conference. He said some of the fairways, if not all of them, are quicker than the greens.
Mm.
That's how dry it is at the moment. So if the wind gets up, it's going to be a real test of golf for these guys.
Wow.
So yeah, should be fun.
I mean, it's interesting with the LIV Golf situation as well, kind of around golf at the moment.
Oh, I'll just swerve that one.
Nice one. Nice one. All right, for more extra time, you can, of course, check out ESPN FC, available daily on ESPN Plus.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.